Vraha Mahadwadasi, the appearance day of Bhagavan Sri Varahadev, as narrated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, verses 17 through 50. While Brahma was engaged in the process of creation, the earth planet became inundated by a deluge and has gone down, sunk in the depths of the Garbhodak ocean. What can we do who are engaged in this matter of creation, thought Brahma? It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. Prabhupada's purport. The confidential servitors of Krishna are sometimes perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties, but they are never discouraged. Devotees have full faith in Sri Krishna, and thus Krishna paves the way for the smooth progress of a devotee's duty. Prabhupada makes an interesting point here. Perplexed, but not discouraged. Sometimes in the course of devotional service, preaching or study, or any type of service for the pleasure of Sri Guru, the Vaishnavas, and Krishna, one may become bewildered or confused or temporarily perplexed. We never lose our enthusiasm to continually surrender to the Lord and continually serve the Lord, because we know we have full faith that Krishna will always help us, will always pull us through, always show us a way, always help us overcome the obstacles and remove the impediment and find a solution. There's no problem without a solution. There's no effect without a cause. So Krishna ultimately, if not immediately, ultimately, Krishna always paves the way for success and smooth progress of devotee's duty. Maitreya, narrating the story of the appearance of Bhagavan Vraha, said, "O sinless Vidura, all of a sudden, while Brahma was engaged in meditation, a small form of a boar came out from his nostril. Varaha toko, a minute form of a boar. The measurement of that creature was not more than the upper portion of a thumb, angushta." So he was only Varaha when he first appeared from the nose of Brahma. He was only about 1 inch long. While Brahma looked at Varaha, the boar became situated in the sky in a wonderful manifestation, as gigantic as a great elephant, a Gajamatra. So 1 minute, the boar was 1 inch long. Next minute, the boar was as big as an elephant. Brahma was struck with wonder, observing the wonderful boar-like form in the sky. And together with other Brahmanas like Marichi, the Kumaras and Manu, Brahma began to discuss and argue among themselves about this unusual, extraordinary appearance. Tarkaya Masa. Tarka, they argued, discussed. And this is what they were arguing and what they were saying. "Is this fantastic boar some extraordinary entity come in the presence of a boar, in disguise of a boar? It is the most amazing that he has come from my nose," thought Brahma. "First of all, this boar was seen no bigger than the tip of a thumb, and within a moment he is as large as an elephant. My mind is perturbed. Is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu? While deliberating with his sons, while Brahma deliberated with his sons, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in this form as a boar, roared tumultuously like a great mountain. The omnipotent Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Varaha, enlivened Brahma and the other highly elevated Brahmanas by again roaring with his uncommon voice, which echoed in all directions." So Brahma and other enlightened Brahmanas who know the Supreme Personality of Godhead are always enlivened by the appearance of the Lord in any of His multi-incarnations. When the great sages and thinkers residing on Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka, when they heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Bor, which is all auspicious sound of the all-merciful Lord, they responded by chanting auspicious shlokas from the three Vedas. The appearance of Lord Bor is everything. He is merciful, He is all knowledge, and He is illusion also. Playing like an elephant, Vrahadev entered the water after roaring again in reply to the Vedic prayers by the great devotees. The Lord is the object of the Vedic prayers, and thus Bhagavan Vrahadev understood that the devotees were praying for His pleasure. The Vedas are the breath of the Lord, and that breath was inhaled by Brahma, the original student of the Vedas. The breathing from the nostril of Brahma, which caused the appearance of Lord Vrahadev, and therefore the Bor incarnation of the Lord, is actually the personified Vedas. Before entering the water of the Garbhadak ocean to rescue the earth planet, Lord Vrahadev flew in the sky, slashing his tail, his hard hairs quivering. His very glance was luminous, and he scattered the clouds in the sky with his hooves and his glittering white tusks. Vasati dashana shikare darani tava lagna shashani kalanka kalevani magna keshavadrita shukara rupa jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. All glories to Lord Keshava, who appeared as a boar, Bhagavan Sri Vrahadev. The earth planet was held between his tusks, which appeared like the scars on the moon. Shashni Kalanka, or the spots on the moon. Lord Vrahadev was personally the Supreme Lord Vishnu and transcendental. Yet because he exhibited the body of a hog, he searched after the earth by smell with his snout. Vrahadev's tusks were fearful. He glanced over the devotee brahmanas engaged in offering prayers. And then he entered the water. We should always remember that although the body of a hog or a pig is material, the hog form of the Lord was not materially contaminated. It is not possible for an earthly hog to assume a gigantic form spreading throughout the sky, beginning from Satyaloka. The Lord's body is always transcendental in all circumstances. Therefore, when he assumes the form of a boar, it is only for his transcendental pastime. The body of Vrahadev is all the Vedas, is all Vedas or transcendental. But since Lord Vishnu had assumed the form of a boar, that boar began to search out the earth by smelling, just like a hog will do. Lord Vishnu can perfectly play the part of any living entity. The gigantic feature of the boar was certainly very fearful for all non-devotees. But to the pure devotees of the Lord, he was not at all fearful. On the contrary, he was so pleasingly glancing upon his devotees that all of them felt transcendental happiness. There's Ugra Nisringa and Shant Nisringa. When the Nisringa Bhagavan appeared from the pillar in the palace of Hiranyakashipu, all the demigods, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, they became frightened and alarmed. Even Lakshmi Devi was afraid to approach Nisringadev, although he was actually her eternal consort and husband. But Bhakta Prahlad, he saw Ugranasringa as Shantanasringa. Peaceful, oh my lord, how beautiful, how sweet, how charming. The devotee Brahman is glorifying Lord Vishnu's appearance as the boar, the transcendental pig, Lord Varahadev. They were happy, they were very joyful to see the Lord in this wonderful dramatic performance, assuming this dramatic actor form, acting on the stage of this material world in his Leela to deliver the world. They were very happy and joyful, not afraid at all. Lord Boar dove into the water like a great mountain, and he divided the middle of the ocean. Two high waves appeared as the arms of that ocean, which cried loudly as if praying to the Lord, "O my Lord of all sacrifices, please, Yageshwara Pahi Matmeti, please do not cut me in two. Kindly give me protection." Lord Boar penetrated the water with his hooves, sharp like arrows. He found the limits of the ocean, although it was unlimited. Varahadev saw the earth, the resting place for all living beings, lying as it was in the beginning of creation, and he personally lifted the mountain. Varahadev found the earth on the bottom of the Garbhadak ocean, where all the planets rest during a devastation at the end of Brahma's day. Lord Varaha very easily took the earth on his tusks and lifted it out of the water, and he appeared very splendid. Then his anger glowing like the Sudarshan wheel, he immediately killed the demon Hiranyaksha, although he tried to fight with the Lord. Thereupon, Lord Boar killed a demon within the water, just as a lion kills an elephant. The cheeks and tongue of the Lord became smeared with the blood of the demon, just as an elephant becomes reddish from digging in the purple earth. Lord Varaha, playing like an elephant, suspended the earth on the edge of his curved white tusks. He assumed a bluish complexion like that of a tamal tree, and thus the sages, headed by Brahma, could understand that Lord Varahadev was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they offered respectful obeisances unto the Lord. With great respect the sages uttered, "O unconquerable enjoyer of all sacrifices, all glories and all victories unto you. You are moving in your form of the personified Vedas, and in the hair holes of your body the oceans are submerged. In order to lift up the earth, you have now assumed the form of a boar." Prabhupada comments, Lord Vishnu can assume any form he likes, and in all circumstances, he is the cause of all causes. I said Lord Vishnu, actually, we can say Lord Krishna. Since Krishna's form is transcendental, he is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is in the causal ocean in the form of Mahavishnu. Innumerable universes generate from the holes of Krishna of his bodily hairs, and thus his transcendental body is a Vedas personified. Lord Vishnu is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead, never to be misunderstood to be anything else than the Supreme Lord, even when he assumes the form of a boar to lift the earth. The clear understanding of the sages and great personalities like Brahma and the other higher residents. Brahma and the sages continue to pray. O Lord Varaha, your form is worshipable by performance of sacrifice. But souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see your form. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri and others are in the touch of your skin. In your bodily hairs is the kusha grass. In your eyes is the clarified butter. And in your four legs are the four kinds of fruit of activities. O Lord Varahadev, your tongue is a plate of sacrifice. Your nostril is another plate of sacrifice. And your belly is the eating place of sacrifice. And another plate of sacrifice is the holes of your ears. And your mouth is the Brahma plate of sacrifice. Your throat is a plate of sacrifice known as Soma. And whatever you chew is known as Agnihotra. Prabhupada says, one cannot achieve the results of sacrifice unless one observes strict regulations. In this age of Kali, there is practically no facility for performing sacrifices in strict discipline. Therefore, in the age of Kali, there is a stricture regarding sacrifices. It is explicitly directed that one should perform Sankirtan Yajna and nothing more, taking shelter of the Lord and rendering service to Him is the factual performance of all sacrifices. Different plates of sacrifice correspond to the different parts of the body of the Lord's incarnation. In 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explicitly directed that one should perform Sankirtan Yajna to please the Lord's incarnation as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishnam Sango Pangashta Parshadam Yajna Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedashaha. This should be rigidly followed in order to achieve the result of Yajna performances. Text 37, Brahma and the sages continue. Moreover, O Lord Varaha, repetition of your appearance is the desire for all kinds of initiation. Your neck is a place for three desires. Your tusks are the result of initiation and the end of all desires. Your tongue is the prior activities of initiation. Your head is the fire without sacrifice, as well as the fire of worship. And your living forces are the aggregate of all desires. O Lord Varahadev, your semen is the sacrifice called Soma Yajna. Your growth is ritualistic performances of the morning. Your skin and touch sensations are the seven elements of the Agni Shtoma sacrifice. Your bodily joints are symbols of various other sacrifices performed in 12 days. Therefore, you are the object of all sacrifices called Soma Asoma, and you are bound by yajnas only. O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are worshipable by universal prayers, Vedic hymns, and sacrificial ingredients. We offer our obeisances unto you. You can be realized by the pure mind, freed from all visible and invisible material contamination. We offer our respectful obeisances to you as the Supreme Spiritual Master of knowledge and devotional service. O lifter of the earth with its mountains, which you have lifted with your tusks, is situated as beautifully as a lotus flower, with leaves sustained by an infuriated elephant just coming out of the water. O Lord Varaha, as the peaks of great mountains become beautiful when decorated with clouds, your transcendental body has become beautiful because of your lifting the earth on the edge of your tusks. O Lord, for the residential purposes of all inhabitants, both moving and non-moving, this earth is your wife, and you are the Supreme Father. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you, along with Mother Earth, in whom you have invested your own potency. Just as an expert sacrificer puts fire in the Arani root wood. This is text 42 from chapter 13 of the third canto. Samstapayanam jagatam satashtusham lokaya patnim asimataram pita videma chasyae namasasahatvaya yasyam svatejognim ivarana vadha. The word here is patnim. Then it says sahatvaya yasyam svatejognim. Swateja. In whom you have put Swateja, in whom you have put your own potency. So in other scriptures, in other places in Bhagavatam, it explains that Bhomasura, who later became known as Narakasura, the demon Narakasura, because of his bad association, Bhomasura was the son of Krishna, and Krishna killed him. But he's specifically the son of Krishna in his form as Lord Varahadev. And the mother of that demon, Narakasura, is Mother Bhumi, Bhumi Mata. And he was conceived when Bhagavan Varahadev lifted the earth during this lila of rescuing the earth from the Garbhadak ocean and killing Hiranyaksha in the very beginning of Satyuga. The very beginning of Satyuga, Lord Varahadev lifted the earth and accepted Mother Earth as his patni, which means wife. And then, Saha Tvaya Yasyam Swatejo, he instilled his potency, his energy, he combined with Mother Bhumi by his touch, and they produced a child. So the son of Varahadev, Bhagavan Varahadev, and Bhumi Mata, was known as Bhomasura. Bhoma means Bhumi, the son of Mother Bhumi, and Lord Varahadev obviously lived a long life. So later Narakasura was killed by Bhagavan Dwarkadish during his lila as Bhagavan Sri Krishna Dwarkadish during Dwapar Yuga. Who else but you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could deliver the earth from within the water? It is not very wonderful for you, however, because you acted most wonderfully in the creation of the universe. By your energy, you have created this wonderful cosmic manifestation. O Supreme Lord, undoubtedly we are inhabitants of the most pious planets, Janalok, Tapalok, and Satyalok. But still, we have been purified by the drops of water sprinkled from your shoulder hairs by the shaking of your body. Water being shaken off the bristly boar hairs of Lord Varahadev's back after coming out of the water. That water is as purifying or even more purifying than Ganga Jal, because that water coming from his body, they're both absolute and transcendental. Ordinarily in a village, if some boar or pig is moving around in a nali or drain somewhere and covered with water, and he comes out and shakes his hairs, shakes his body, and flings water here and there from the latrine or the nali, stool water, then everyone runs hither and thither to escape those drops of water. Because if those drops of water fall on one, they're considered completely contaminated. They have to change their clothes, take a bath, and put on fresh, clean clothes to counteract the contamination of receiving a few drops of water from the tips of the shoulder hairs of a village pig, village boar. But in the case of the Lord, his body is completely transcendental and completely pure. Even Brahma and the greatest sages and vairagis and renunciates of the universe, they consider themselves purified by receiving a few drops of water from the bristling hairs of the incarnation of the Lord as Lord Varahadev. Brahma and the sages continue their prayers. O Lord, there is no limit to your wonderful activities. Anyone who desires to know the limit of your activities is certainly nonsensical. Everyone in this world is conditioned by the powerful mystic potencies. So by Gyan or the Arohapanta, ascending process of using our intellectual power or our speculations, or we cannot understand the limits of the unlimited. This is nonsensical, foolish, ridiculous proposal. Anyone who thinks like this is completely captivated by Krishna's maya potency, misconception. The only thing one can do is to surrender unto Krishna, because he's a chintya shakti, he's inconceivable. By receiving his mercy, by his mercy, he can be revealed and understood. That's the end of the sage's prayers. So they're concluding by praying for the benefit of the conditioned souls. May he bestow their mercy upon them. So now Maitreya Muni speaks to wrap up the story. Lord Varahadev, being thus worshipped by all the great sages and transcendentalists, touched the water with his hooves and placed it back on the water. In this manner, the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Lord Varaha, Lord Vishnu, the maintainer of all living entities, raised the earth from within the water, and having placed it afloat on the water, he returned to his own abode. Eva metam hari medaso hare katam subhadram kataniya mayana shanvita bhaktya shavayeta voshatim janardanos yashu ridi prasidati. Maitreya Muni concludes with this Shruti Phal, the benediction shloka. If one hears and describes in a devotional service attitude, Shanvita Bhaktiya, this auspicious narration of Lord Bor, which is worthy of description, the Lord who is within the heart of everyone is very pleased. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In his various incarnations, the Lord appears, acts, and leaves behind him a narrative history which is as transcendental as he himself. Every one of us is fond of hearing some wonderful narration, but most stories are neither auspicious nor worth hearing because they are of the inferior quality of material nature. Every living entity is of superior quality, spirit soul, and nothing material can be auspicious for him. Intelligent persons should therefore hear personally and cause others to hear the descriptive narrations of the Lord's activities, for that will destroy the pangs of material existence. Out of his causeless mercy only, the Lord comes to this earth and leaves behind his merciful activities, so the devotees may derive transcendental benefit. Nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. By transcendental achievement, one understands everything else to be insignificant. One who engages in the transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord Himself, who is seated in everyone's heart. For a devotee, there is nothing valuable to be achieved in this material world save and except the devotional service of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. If one serves faithfully, there is no possibility of frustration, because the Lord Himself takes charge of the devotee's advancement. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart, and He knows the devotee's motive, and He arranges everything achievable. One merely has to become sincere in his purpose, and then the Lord is there to help in every way. Sincerity of purpose. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma adhyanavritam. No covering, no material desire, no personal agenda, no ulterior motives, no mixture. Little bhakti, little bhog, little Krishna, little maya, lot of Krishna, little maya, lot of maya, little Krishna. We have to become very, very sincere in our purpose, that all we really want in life All we want to achieve is the eternal loving service of Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. There's nothing else we want in our mind. There's nothing else we desire in our heart. All other coverings and hankerings and wants are simply illusion. They're contaminations of our pure self, adulterations of our pure consciousness. Maitreya concludes the story by saying, Ko nama loke purushartha saravit pura katanam bhagavat katha sudham apiya karna jali bir bhavapaham aho virajita vina naretaram. Maitreya Muni concludes the narration, the avirbhav of Bhagavan Lord Varahadev, who, other than one who is not a human being, can exist in this world and not be interested in the ultimate goal of life? Who can refuse the nectar of narrations about the personality of Godhead's activities, which by itself can deliver one from all material pangs? Saravit, Saravit Pura Katanam, Saravit Pura Katanam, one who knows the essence of all past histories, Bhagavat Gita Sudam, Apiha, Pio. He wants to drink. He only wants to drink and partake the nectar, the Sudha, the nectar of the narrations about Bhagavan. Karna Anjali B, by drinking that nectar with his ears. And that nectar, Bhava Apaham, will kill all material pangs. So if one is a human being, this is the right activity. The narrations of the activities of Bhagavan Sri Krishna are like a constant flow of nectar. Who can refuse such nectar? Only one who is not a human being would refuse such nectar. Krishna bhakti is the highest goal of life for every human being. And such Krishna bhakti begins by hearing about the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. Only an animal or a man who is almost an animal in behavior can refuse to take an interest in hearing the transcendental message of the Lord. If anyone is serious about terminating his material existence, then he must hear and chant the transcendental narrations of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Otherwise, such a living entity cannot even be called a human being. Bhagavan Raha Avirbhav Titi Utsav Ki Jai.